You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
All right, let's go. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. We're still in the middle of the wild card weekend. Not over yet. Thank God. Maybe we got a chance for a good game.
Not quite in the middle, I would say.
Oh, all right, fine. 80% of the way through.
You're right.
I'm just hoping for a good game. What a weak wild card weekend. I don't mean to kind of, you know, I feel like everyone is talking all about this one play at the end of the Dallas game. And like, yeah, all right, it was a bad play. It was arguably the most interesting thing that happened all weekend. And everyone's talking about it because it's a chance to have something to talk about. But it didn't lose the Cowboys the game. They were going to lose the game anyway. And, you know, we had three blowouts. Two games that were close, but, you know, sort of desperation at the end. I mean, honestly, Justin, your game was probably the best game. It was the first game of the weekend with Cincinnati finding a way to beat the Raiders late.
It was really good.
It was good. It wasn't really. I thought it was a good game. But, like, all right, that was the best game of the weekend? That?
Fantastic game.
I know you're very happy, and I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
It took everything
on the big win
in me to not wear every single piece of Bengals gear.
Why didn't you? Why would you hold yourself back from
that? You know, something you learn when being a Bengals fan, Bengals 101, is you have to act like you've been there.
Oh.
That's a big part of being a Bengals fan.
True.
So how do you know how to do that?
Yeah, it's like I'm going to reel it in. You know, I'm just going to, this is normal for me now. We're a playoff winning team.
Just remind me, how old were you when they last won a playoff game?
Two. Yeah.
Two
or three.
So you remember that as a good game for you.
Yeah, it's a great time.
Right.
That's where I, you know, act like I've been there.
Yes. Like, well, all right. I appreciate you doing so, but
no gloating, you know?
Just kind of a weak wild card weekend, I thought. Like, so hopefully tonight ends up being the great game. Mm-hmm. I feel like we just as football fans kind of deserve a really good one. And so, you know, tonight's the night we're hoping kind of ends in a tie or maybe an asteroid or whatever. So see what happens with.
I guess I'm happy if it just gets close at the end because I enjoyed the Cowboys, 49ers, and the Bengals, Raiders.
Yeah, they were okay. I mean, like, they were decent games, but, like, it seemed like both the Cowboys and the Niners were both looking for ways to screw it up. I mean, like, watching those
two
teams,
that could be kind of entertaining too.
They didn't seem like real Super Bowl contenders. I think that was one of the things that kind of jumped out to me from a Seahawks fan perspective this weekend. Are the Seahawks far from being a playoff contender? No. The difference between the Seahawks and all but five of the teams left? Nothing. Not much. The Seahawks are not that different from the Cowboys. They're not that different from the Raiders. They're not that different from the Patriots, right? And you put them in that situation, they might have done better yesterday. They might have won. There are five teams as of now that I think have probably set themselves apart from everybody else. The Bucs, the Chiefs, the Bills, Green Bay, and Tennessee. No particular order there.
Yeah.
Those five teams. And if you're not one of those five teams, it's really, I mean, the Eagles, are you kidding me? Watching the Eagles play yesterday, the Eagles went 0-7 this year against playoff teams. The Eagles are a playoff team because of, you know, the seventh spot. Same with the Steelers. I mean, the Seahawks are just as good as those two teams. I know they lost to the Steelers this year without Russell Wilson, but, like, you watch those teams, Seahawks are just as good by the end of the year as some of those teams that were losing in the first round of the playoffs. And probably pretty darn close to being as well. I mean, look, they beat San Francisco twice this year. So are they far away from contending? No. But how far away from are they from what the Chiefs, what the Bucks, what the Bills did this weekend, what Green Bay and what Tennessee did over the course of this season? And I think that's where you start to really see the gap of what it means to really be a contender. And why there's some of that frustration, and I totally understand it, from parts of Seahawks Nation, and I agree with you. That you know, good enough isn't good enough, right? You got to be better than that.
Yep.
You want to be one of the dominant teams in the league. And right now there are five of them. You're not one of them. You're in that next group in all likelihood when it's all said and done, right? I don't think there's that big a difference between team six and team, I don't know where the Seahawks ended up finishing, I guess, what, 20th total in the year, although I think some of that we can kind of just attribute to Russ being out. I don't think there's that big a difference. But there's a pretty substantial difference between the top five and everybody else. and your goal is to get into that group, to be one of those teams that are truly contending for a Super Bowl, capable of winning. I mean, would you be surprised if any of those five teams won? Maybe Tennessee. I'd be pretty surprised. I think Tennessee is going to be one and done. But all right, I'll put them on this list. Would you be shocked if the Bucs won the Super Bowl?
No.
How about if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
No.
How about if the Bills win the Super Bowl? I'll be a little surprised.
Well, yeah.
If Josh Allen can take his team all the way to the Super Bowl, I'll be very, very impressed.
Me too.
He's already essentially made me look terrible for every opinion I've ever had about him. He was amazing on Saturday night and just deadly accurate and all that. But that to me is sort of the difference right now between the Seahawks and those five teams that could absolutely go.
But the difference between the other 25 is that your team has a quarterback.
Well, right, exactly. You are certainly not in the group that is woeful and doesn't know what they're doing at the bottom
Jets.
Of the pack.
No.
Of course not. So, yeah, I think that that's sort of eye-opening from that perspective. I also was pretty surprised that the Great Donut War of 2022 would break out on social media following us eating donuts here on Friday. What was the deal? That was crazy.
Well, if it turns out Stacy's the monster who cut them all up.
Not a monster. I think that's a totally normal thing to do. So just to refresh on this, so Friday morning, we were talking about meetings and how donuts are really sort of the superfood of meetings, right? I know that's an insult to blueberries and acai or whatever other superfoods are out there. But all right, donuts are the superfood of meetings.
Yeah.
And a friend of ours was generous enough to go purchase a dozen donuts for us and drop them off. And the three of us partook in some donuts. Now, I will say that I bring knives to the donuts because I think people should be able to cut their donuts. In case you don't want a whole donut, in case you want to leave some for other people to be able to, you know, split them without putting your grubby hands all over them.
Sure.
So I think that's a fair thing to do. And I was definitely surprised when I saw Curtis tweeting later about how nobody likes the person in the office who cuts up the donuts. Find out later that Stacy had actually cut up all of the donuts.
That's the thing right there.
So you see a difference between cutting up all the donuts and just cutting your own donut?
He was yelling at her as we were leaving the room because she was literally like cutting them all into pieces so she could just take like
I think that's a totally valid thing. I would
like,
not
do
that.
I
wouldn't do that. But I think that's a totally valid thing to do.
I think she thought she was doing everyone a favor by cutting every piece of donut.
Yes. I think that's a nice thing. It's sort of you know, it's a little parental. But I would actually support Stacy on that. I think she's in the right. I don't necessarily do that. I will just cut what I want.
Okay,
but
I think there you go.
So that's okay.
That's okay. If you're like, hey, I'm not going to ruin the rest of this donut for everyone.
Right.
Just that part. Don't take a knife to every single one.
Really?
And just say, yeah, no, I'm going to do everybody a favor here and cut these.
Apparently, even that's not okay. So I normally just take a whole one because I'm fine to eat a whole donut. But I was having trouble deciding. There were so many good ones on Friday. And Salk encouraged me, just cut one in half and then cut another one and get the two halves you want. And I did, and then later Kyle and Lefko told me that that's not acceptable either.
What is with all these rules on donuts?
And I was like, Salk told me to do it. It wasn't me.
I will take whatever grief comes my way. I don't care. First of all, they were our donuts. They were they were brought for us. If anybody else in this building has a problem with what happened with the donuts afterwards, that's fine. But I mean, like, you know, they were our donuts. Maura, you should not feel guilty even one little bit about something like that. So, yeah, I have no concern whatsoever. All right, we got a lot going on this weekend that we want to get to. We have the full slate here of wild card games with the bigger and better and wilder wild card weekend with too many teams. By the way, I hope every single person who works for Major League Baseball and is connected to the negotiation of this next CBA watched how watered down and awful it was to have two extra playoff teams. No thanks. Please don't do this. Make the playoffs mean something.
That's true.
Don't put the Steelers and Eagles in the playoffs. Please. Or your version thereof. You do not need more playoff teams. Make the playoffs about the elite teams in the game. Make the regular season matter. Please do not extend your playoff field. There is no need. But Russell Wilson, we got some news there. We got some news on the Seahawks meeting, kind of. I don't know. Some people are calling this clarity. I don't think it makes it any more clear, really, than we had before. There is a long way to go before the offseason even begins. We'll tell you about that and everything else you need to know next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Text message, Russell truly wants to look at the other teams and explore whether or not they're closer to the Super Bowl. He looked directly in the mirror. Two wins away from the playoffs, and did he possibly cost them two games this year with late-game failures? I think it's a good text from the 360. I don't know whether Russ will look at it that way, and obviously then you add in the finger issues and everything else. But good text, and it's a good conversation that I'm sure will be had over the course of this offseason. Right now, let's tell you what you need to know.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Wild card weekend, and actually still have one more to go, but let's start in Dallas. I know people will point to the final play for good reason.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
It will. They'll be able to clock this. They were planned for it. It's down. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the official gets in the way. The game's over.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
Oh, poor Tony. So upset. A ridiculous decision. To run a draw there rather than a few shots at the end zone. I'm not going to blame the officials at all. Realistically, that game ended on the defensive holding call on Randy Gregory, which gave the Niners a final first down, killed the extra 30 seconds or so necessary to have a real good shot at the end zone. The Niners win despite a rough game from Jimmy Garoppolo. Just 172 yards and a pick. San Fran now at Green Bay next week, Saturday night. Demolition in Tampa. I think the Bucs could have started Blaine Gabbert and still sneaked out a win, honestly. Brady was masterful, but just like last year, it was Tampa's defense that was really the story. They harassed Jalen Hurts into two picks, two sacks, never gave the Eagles a chance to get on track. 31-50 in your final there, but only because of some garbage time points for Philly. Tampa will now host the winner of tonight's game against Rams versus Cardinals. Chiefs took a little while to wake up, but they finally showed their mettle. 42-21, Mahomes throws for 405 scores, graciously allowing Travis Kelce to throw for the sixth. They will host Buffalo on Sunday. Bills look like the best team this weekend. They played about as well as you could expect a team to play. It was like they took every single moment and ounce of frustration combined from Buffalo, Miami, and New York over the last 20 years or so and just channeled it into one massive Patriots beating. 47-17, your final. Josh Allen, shut up. Anyone like me that thinks he's inaccurate and interception prone, he was 21 of 25 for 308 yards, five scores, no picks, in the cold. Take that, Salk, says Josh Allen. And yes, Justin, your Cincinnati Bengals win their first playoff game since George H.W. Bush was president. They did it in somewhat dramatic fashion, too, as everything came down to fourth and goal.
The season comes down to this. It is Carr end zone. Intercepted. Jermaine Pratt has it. And for the first time in 31 years, Cincinnati, your Bengals have won a playoff game.
That's pretty amazing. Joe Burrow, very good. Jamar Chase, even better. Bengals moving on. They'll head to Tennessee on Saturday.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, some level of clarity over the weekend as we got a few reports about the future of the Seahawks' main characters. No surprises at all. Pete and John will both return, according to a report from Chris Mortensen. Russ may decide to push for a trade, according to Ian Rappaport. I think we've known both those things, though, for a while. Here's what we don't know. We don't know what was the tone and tenor of the conversation between Jody Allen and her Seahawks brain trust. Did she put any additional pressure on them? Did anything change in terms of the structure of how decisions were made? None of that has come out. Second, what will Russ do now? Last year, watching the playoffs seemed to drive him crazy, and he just let loose in his interview with Dan Patrick. What will he think this year? Does he truly want to be out, or does he just want everyone to talk about him? If so, he should just threaten to retire like Brett Favre. I'm told that works very well. And then finally, how will the team handle his frustration? If Russ is upset, in the past they've let him be upset without really commenting on it. But if his camp continues to put pressure on the team, will they deal him? Will they retaliate with leaks of their own? Yeah, we've got a little bit of clarity, but in some ways we have anything but.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, I took my family to the Kraken game Saturday night. They got everything right there. Honestly, it was awesome. Everything except the play on the ice was fantastic. The good? New pregame show was super cool. Avery literally squealed when the tentacle came up out of the center ice. It was unbelievable. It was like truly amazing dad moment. And she was like, it was so cool to see. Shaq's Big Chicken might be the best thing I've ever eaten at a concession stand. It's that good. Seats are comfortable, sight lines are perfect, sound is incredible, and for everyone who complained, there was no traffic getting into or out of Queen Anne on Saturday night. And then, there's the team. Yeah, they lost for their 12th time in 13 tries. This time it was the Kings doing the honors, getting up two, hanging on for the win. Here's a few things that stand out. One, they can't score. Other than Eberle or McCann, no one has any scoring touch or sense. Two, they give the puck away a lot in bad spots on the ice. Three, they got no answer for truly exceptional players. And I know those guys are excellent for a reason, but they just seem to completely dominate the Kraken on Saturday. That was Anze Kopitar, who I love. And then finally, no grit, no response, no taking your game to the other team. You don't see any of it. So thankfully, the arena is full. Folks seem to be happy to be there. I hope that lasts long enough for this team to get right, because from what I'm seeing on the TV ratings, they've gone south. That is everything you need to know. We do that every hour, quarter past the hour, here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Mike Salk Show. Good to be with you.
What is the tentacle coming up?
Because it's new.
I haven't been since, well, I mean, before the postponement started.
So this just
I'll show
started.
You a Twitter video.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty cool. So this just started Saturday. We were lucky enough to go. We bought the kids these tickets for Christmas. This was their Christmas present. They really wanted to go to the Kraken. So all four of us got up in our Kraken gear and headed down to the arena on Saturday. And it's just awesome. Honestly, the whole experience is great. You know, kids love the food and just walking around and the live, you know, that sort of living wall thing and all that and all the screens. It's just cool. Like they really have made it a great experience. And walking into and out of the building through Seattle Center with all of the lights and they're blinking and they're, I mean, just really, they've done everything right. The new open was cool. They've added to it. They've got more of the graphics on the ice. They've got this giant tentacle that kind of comes up out of the ice and kind of explodes with light. That was really cool. But gosh, like this team's just bad. And I know I've been kind of hard on Dave Hakstol. Maybe it should be harder on Ron Francis for putting together a team that just isn't very good. But I mean, you put it all together and it's just, I enjoy watching it because I enjoy watching hockey. But I totally understand how these ratings have gone south. I'll take you through it maybe later this week. I don't know if Monday morning is the time to go through this, but
yeah.
things are precarious right now for the Kraken in terms of who's watching or rather not watching. And I'm not sure how that story is going to kind of develop from there.
Moore just showed me a part of the clip, the tweet. That is cool.
Isn't it cool?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool. You're there, you're like, whoa, kids. The kids really very loved cool. It, so that was great.
It's all right. On the Seattle Kraken's Twitter if anyone wants to.
Okay, good. Look all it. Right. So we gave you kind of the basics here of what happened over the weekend. I think it's a good chance, though, to go around the NFL because there were some interesting things once you dig into some of the details of this weekend. So we will go around the NFL, including the one play that everybody's talking about that I think might be a little bit overblown. It's next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
We were trying to rank Led Zeppelin songs over the weekend. This whole ranking thing has become obsessive in my life now, I guess. It's harder than you think, trying to come up with top five Led Zeppelin songs. We'll have to do that at some point here in the show.
That's a lot.
There are so many good songs. All right, you don't have to be helpful, but we, you know, there's a lot of great Led Zeppelin songs. We heard Immigrant Song over the weekend, and it kind of got us down a Led Zeppelin rabbit hole. Avery was trying to help with it. I know Kashmir's so good. Obviously, you've got the entirety of Led Zeppelin 4. So, yeah. All right, more. Let's buzz around the NFL before I get too deep into this rabbit hole.
All right, we'll start with your team this week, Justin. We ended with them last week.
You mean the playoff winning Bengals? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, those guys. Justin's Bengals defeated the Raiders 26-19, earning their first playoff victory in 31 years.
Oh, is that all?
They took a 2013 lead heading into halftime when Joe Burrow hit Tyler Boyd for this 10-yard touchdown that ended up being a bit controversial.
Burrow. Tries to keep it alive, scrambles, throws it back in the end zone, but was he out of bounds first or is it a touchdown? I think he was out of bounds, they're discussing it. Caught in the back by Boyd. Conversation on the sideline here for the moment, no signal yet.
Touchdown!
One of the refs decided to blow their whistle because they thought Burrow had gone out of bounds. He hadn't, but the rule states that the play should have been called dead. And, of course, the NFL took full accountability post-game, right?
They did eventually, right? I mean, Walt Coleman came out and said, hey, we blew it. That should have been a dead ball. It should have been a They should have been a do-over is what you're supposed to do in that situation. Like when you're out in the playground, do-over. Like everyone just agrees. Like, hey, I don't agree that you're right. You don't agree that I'm right. Do-over. Let's just do it again.
I didn't even see that he did. When I just saw the interview with the pool reporters where they were just basically like pretending nothing happened.
Yeah, later the NFL came out and said, all right, we got that one wrong.
Well, that's good.
So, look, the Bengals did win, but, you know.
Get out of here.
One of their touchdowns shouldn't have counted.
An asterisk
like,
on it.
A little bit of an asterisk, right?
No.
According to the rules of the NFL, they got it wrong.
There was still a whole another half to go. The Raiders and Bengals each scored two field goals in the second half, but it ultimately came down to Derek Carr attempting to tie the game on fourth and goal with 15 seconds left and doing this.
The season comes down to this. It is Carr end zone. Intercepted. First time in 31 years, Cincinnati, your Bengals have won a playoff game.
All right, Justin, I got some questions for you here about how you felt, how it was for you.
I'm just so used to winning playoff games now. I'm just a different person.
Give me a moment first to talk about the game, and then I want to kind of get your perspective on this. First of all, they should have been a do-over. That is, I mean, like, that is just how the rule is stated. Do I think it affected the play? No, probably not. But the NFL got it wrong, and so, you know, it seems weird not to be able to remedy that in the moment with all the people they have and the eye in the sky and all this stuff. They have communication from New York. That's the moment that they should have used it to step in, call a do-over, and get it right. Okay. Bigger issue for me in this game is not the final pick from Carr. Why are you spiking the ball on first down from the 9 if you're the Raiders?
Not the same thing.
You need your four downs more than you need to save 4 seconds.
Take a shot.
You had enough time at that point in the game. I forget the exact time that was left. But they were going to get 4 full shots.
Yeah.
You can't waste one of them. You are far enough back that you need them all. You're not at the 1. You're at the 9. You need all of your shots at the end zone. That's a huge bungling, I think. Much worse than anything that happened in the Dallas-San Francisco game. That was the biggest mistake of the weekend.
Well, at least they have the excuse of an interim head coach.
That's true, but I mean, like...
I think showed the weakness of not having a head coach. And maybe the communication wasn't there. You should have had a play ready to go for that moment.
I totally agree with that. I think that's a huge, huge problem. But all of that aside, Cincinnati looked pretty good. Give them a lot of credit. They beat the Raiders. They showed up. At home, they didn't miss a final kick to lose like I thought they would.
Yeah,
they
actually, got it done. Evan McPherson, I think I read, became the first rookie kicker ever to go four for four.
There you go. See, he became an important part. I was dead wrong. Justin, what was your day like on Saturday during the day?
The most nervous and emotional that I didn't expect to be because I'm just so beat down. And my biggest fear was like, oh, if this is what this feels like for a Bengals playoff win, what will a Mariners playoff win feel like? Or just getting to the playoffs. I know getting to the playoffs is different than winning a playoff game.
Yeah, I had somebody compare that, the Mariners with the Bengals yesterday, of like, oh, that's like, because I was talking about how I had picked against the Bengals to, you know, just be the Bengals.
Sure.
And someone was like, oh, that's probably what someone will do with the Mariners when they get there. I was like, I don't think so. The Mariners have a different rep. The Bengals have gotten to the playoffs a number of times.
Eight times.
Just find a way to completely blow it once they get there. The Mariners just can't get there.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different form of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I have some words that I won't use.
I'll tell you, I was asked to cool it. Say that after the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Buckley's in Belltown.
Oh, it's a good spot.
Somebody came by and was like, hey, I just gotta pump the brakes a little bit. I'm like, hey, I've been waiting a while.
What were you doing?
Somebody who works there told you to pump the brakes?
Maybe.
Dude, you represent this show.
I may or may not have done a hot lap.
Dude, you represent this show.
I went over to the other Bengals fans to cheer. That's all I did.
How many other Bengals fans were there? What do you mean the other Bengals fans?
Well, there normally used to be a whole corner of them, and they all moved away. So.
Corner. How big is this corner?
There's maybe 6, but there were also like, it was probably 95% Raiders fans.
Oh, jeez.
So it looked much worse because I just went straight over to them.
Ah.
She was nice about it. She was like, oh, okay, I didn't know you're sitting over there.
You were about to get a taunting penalty at Buckley's?
I was. I was excited.
All right, let's move it along. It's enough. That's more than anyone should ever talk about.
Oh, boy.
Bengals.
All right.
Skyline chili for everybody.
Hey, Skyline.
Now we will move on to the team that I have grown up rooting
for. Yeah, how'd this go, Maura?
Well, I did not pick the Patriots to win, but I also did not expect the worst playoff loss of Bill Belichick's career. That's what we got Saturday night as the Patriots were dominated by the Bills from the opening drive in a 47-17 loss. Josh Allen drove his team down the field and hit Dawson Knox for a touchdown on what he later admitted was supposed to be a throwaway that he was shocked ended up being a touchdown on their first drive.
Allen looking, waits, the patience. Allen turns the corner and he will catch it. Back in the end zone. Touchdown. Catch made. It is Dawson Knox. And the Bills strike first.
And they just kept going from there, becoming the first team in the Super Bowl era to score a touchdown on each of their first seven drives of a game. Offensively, Mac Jones was sacked three times and threw two picks. Safety Devin McCourty summed it up best post-game when asked about what puzzled them so much with the Bills.
What do you think that the Bills did different this time around that caught you off guard?
Shit, I mean, everything they did. I mean,
just everything. So it's funny, you look at this game. This is the game I got to see the least of over the weekend. But I would say if Bill Belichick were in a conversational mood, which, you know, he won't be, I think he would agree that any game plan that included Mac Jones throwing the ball 38 times in that game was never going to be successful. And I'm sure they didn't want to be there. Obviously, at that some point, you're so far behind that that's what you're doing to try to catch up. But if you just looked at no other score, like no other part of this box score other than Mac Jones' 38 attempts, you'd guess that something went wrong for the Patriots. Last time they were in Buffalo, he threw the ball three times.
Three times, yep.
This time it was 38. Those additional 35 did not seem to add much. 47-17 is just a complete drubbing, and really it didn't even feel that close, right? Patriots score a couple of times in the second half once it was well over. Josh Allen has impressed me, all right? I'm sorry. I did not think he had that level of accuracy. He has become more accurate as a passer. And it's funny, all the conversations I've had with Brock over the years about accuracy, he's convinced me that generally that's innate. You either have it or you don't. Yeah, there's some little things you could do to kind of, you know, improve it marginally. But accuracy tends to be something either you have or you don't have. And Josh Allen started his career inaccurate. And right now, 21-25 in a playoff game in the cold against a very good defense, that's superb. His quarterback rating was 98.5, his QBR, 98.5 out of 100. I mean, he was essentially a perfect quarterback in the game on Saturday. So, yeah, kudos to him. And then that defense is pretty good. The Bills sure look like a Super Bowl contender. And bummer that we're not going to get our opportunity for Patriots versus, you know, Belichick versus Brady in the Super Bowl.
True. I also thought I saw Brock's tweet about being a perfect game. No punts.
That's crazy, isn't it? Not a single punt in the game.
Nuts.
Sheesh.
Nuts.
Well, okay. What you just mentioned with Mac Jones, the Eagles were in a similar situation with Jalen Hurts. The Bucs easily handled the Eagles in their 31-15 win Sunday morning. They jumped out to a 17-0 lead at the half after picking off Jalen Hurts' goal line throw in the final minutes of the first.
Hurts, end zone, picked off. Intercepted by Mike Edwards.
Brady was 29 for 37 for 271 yards and a touchdown. Hurts was 23 for 43. As we mentioned, another guy you don't want throwing that much. For 258 yards, a touchdown, and two interceptions. He also led the team in rushing, and he only had 39 rushing yards. So that's not a great sign.
There was nothing good about that game to watch. I mean, honestly, it's just ugly. The Eagles did not belong in the playoffs at all. They did not beat a single playoff team this year. They play in a completely pathetic division, and they were, you know, they were second in that division because they get to pad their stats with a bunch of wins against lousy teams. The Giants stink, and the Washington stinks, and the rest of that. So, all right, kudos to them for making the playoffs and going 9-8 this year, and legitimately for doing so with, I think it's like 20% of their salary cap being attributed to a guy who doesn't play for them in Carson Wentz. So, all right, like there is maybe something that is brewing there in Philly where you kind of, once you kind of get it all together, if they can get the right quarterback, maybe there is a future for that organization of where they're going. But they were not up to that challenge, not even close.
The NFC East, man, they just...
Oh, it's so bad. On the other side of it, look, I know Brady will get the credit and he deserves it. Did you see Matt Cassel's tweet? Yesterday.
I did. That was funny.
That was probably my favorite little moment of the day. Matt Cassel, I have it here somewhere. He says, I was hoping to tell my future grandkids about Tom Brady one day. At this rate, they may get to go to one of his games.
That's really funny.
It's true.
Dude, he's 44 years old.
It's like he could be the dad of the other quarterbacks he's played this year.
He's 44 years old, 29 of 37 with 271 and two touchdowns. He wasn't perfect by any means in this game, and he took a bunch of sacks. But just watching him, this is one of my takeaways. We'll get to it later.
They had two of their all-pro offensive linemen go out hurt. I think one, his center came back.
Yeah.
But Tristan Wirfs
is, and Wirfs is really good, obviously. So, I just, the way Brady, even at this age, moves in the pocket, the subtle slide. He's never been fast. He's even slower than he ever was. But just his ability to just, like, a couple steps here. Dan Marino was so much the same way. Like, not fast, never ran down the field. But just his ability to know where to be in the pocket, when to step up, when to slide, give himself extra time, set up the right throw. It really is remarkable. I don't think Tampa's going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think they're as good as some of the other teams out there. I would be shocked if they had back-to-back victories, Super Bowl victories. But the Brady thing really is remarkable.
Yeah.
Dude's 44 years old.
Juxtapose that next to Big Ben, who looks like an old stunt car driver out there trying to hobble around
on
broken
legs.
Big
Ben tries to throw.
39.
Everything looks like he's taking a crow hop and heaving it down there. And like, meanwhile, Brady just looks like Brady. Just darts wherever he wants to throw him. It's pretty amazing.
All right, we will move on to this San Francisco-Dallas debacle. The Niners jumped out to a 16-7 halftime lead over the Cowboys and seemed on their way to an easy win. Their pass rush was suffocating Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys all but abandoned the run, with Elliott only carrying the ball 12 times. But Jimmy Garoppolo opened the door by overthrowing a wide-open Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers ahead 23-10 and just under 2 minutes remaining in the third for an interception. Prescott then ran in a touchdown. The Cowboys proceeded to have a slew of defensive penalties that helped the 49ers eat up clock, but were easily making their way downfield and out of bounds to try and tie it when they made the call to run a quarterback draw from the 40 with 14 seconds left. And the ref couldn't get there to reset the ball in time, so the clock ran out.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
Well, they'll be on the clock this they were playing for. It's down. Oh, my gosh.
The official gets in the way. The game's over.
Gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
All right. I got a lot to say here. First of all, before we even get to this game, did you hear how mad Troy Aikman was at being forced to call the Eagles game? He was so mad.
I read that tweet. I didn't know he actually
was. Oh, my God.
Was.
I was watching it. It was so funny. He's like, oh, the game's going to be over on CBS later. That seems like a lot of fun to watch. Maybe even a lot of fun to call. Wouldn't have mind calling it myself. Like, oh, he was mad that CBS ended up getting that game instead of Fox because of the extra games this year. Obviously, that's the one that they would have called if the normal NFC playoff game would be on Fox.
Well, so he would have been sad with the ending of that one.
He might have been, but at least he would have had an opportunity to watch it anyway, or call it anyway. All right, let's see. Where do we want to start? Let's start with the official. The umpire needed to spot that ball because it was spotted incorrectly by the center. There's a reason we don't let the offensive center spot the ball. Mm-hmm. He might be a little biased.
Well, and Dak needs to be aware of that. He, like they were saying, he should have been looking for the official from the beginning. You can't hand it to your center and then just go.
Totally true. So I'm not blaming anybody in the officiating department. Why would you possibly blame the umpire? The umpire looked at it, saw that the center had spotted the ball like a yard and a half too far forward. You can't just give them an extra yard. So he needs to come back to where it's supposed to be.
And I think even if that wasn't the case, from what they were saying on the broadcast, the ref just has to be the one to set it.
Of course he does. Yeah. He's the only person who can fairly spot the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason is because the offense might decide to spot it a yard forward like what happened here. And then the umpire did him a favor. The umpire worked, I thought, exceptionally hard. He has to get through the line like a running back. He's like Rashad Penny sliding through the guard center hole.
Yeah, he was booking it.
He was moving pretty good. He moves the ball to where it needs to be. And then, rather than race back to his spot, which means he would have had to get back on the other side of the line, he moved to the old umpire spot, which was on the defensive side, and was ready to make the call the play from the wrong spot because he was trying to do everything he could to help the Cowboys out, which is the right thing to do. I don't mean like he was biased in their favor. He was doing everything he could to be unobtrusive.
Mm-hmm. Keep play moving.
The fact of the matter is, A, it's a stupid play call, and B, the game was already basically over. You can't go down the field, score a touchdown with 30 seconds left. And no timeouts. I mean, it just, like, doesn't happen. So, yeah, maybe you were going to get a bomb or two from the 40. That's fine. I mean, like, that's better than nothing and certainly better than what they got.
Better play call.
But the idea of putting it all on this one play and, like, this is the thing you're going to focus on all offseason, it's ridiculous.
Well, this was...
They got embarrassed over the course of 60 minutes by an inferior San Francisco team.
Yeah.
And as much as I don't like Jerry Jones, credit to him, after the game, he wasn't mad about the dumb play call. He was mad that his superior Dallas Cowboy team was beat up and embarrassed and took, what, 15 penalties? Against a mediocre San Francisco team, and I don't blame them. This game was not lost in the final 14 seconds. It was lost well before that. And really, I thought it came down to that Randy Gregory defensive holding penalty, because at that point, if you stop them on third down, you get like a minute and a half. That's a significant amount of time to go down and score a touchdown. Then it's going to be on Dak and what he's able to do in the final moments. But 30 seconds from your own 20? That's our 15, whatever it was? That's not a reasonable amount of time to expect anybody to get down and score. Sorry.
I also love that they were saved by Jimmy G's own bad quarterback play.
God, he's bad.
When the throw to Kittle that hit the ground. I was like, oh, that's it? Jimmy G just gave it away. And it's like, no, he's just bad.
He's just that bad. I mean, the overthrow down the sideline for the pick. I mean, Jimmy G really, yikes. There are some yikes moments at it.
I'm still very confused by the special teams decision on the fake punt. And then, no, let's leave him on. And then let's just be a lazy switch.
Oh, yeah, I have a little bit of that.
Oof.
So the Cowboys successfully run a fake punt to get a first down. And then afterwards, there's a lot of confusion.
Well, they're going
to
fake it again?
Yeah, look at this. They keep the unit out there. They got Goodwin lined up as
the
receiver.
They're trying to get you to take a timeout. I've seen this. They're trying to get the defense just to steal a timeout.
Anger in the slot. You go.
So now they're going to send it out. So what happens is, you get a scramble. I'm Kyle Shanahan. I got all my guys out here. Let's say the punt team and a bunch of people. And they keep that out there. It's like, we got to take a timeout. They're going to run a play. He wisely doesn't.
So now there's a whistle.
Yeah, because they end up taking a delay game. So I think I like what the Cowboys were trying to do there, but why not run a play? First of all, let me back up. Did Romo say, are they going to fake it again?
Yes, he did.
What is that? What are you talking about, Tony Romo?
Oh, no. I thought he was asking, are they actually going to fake it again? And then he said,
but
no.
That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean fake it again? They're going to line up in a punt formation on first and 10 and fake a punt?
Gotcha. I thought
what
that
are
was
you
a weird
talking
thing
about,
to say
you maniac?
Well. Yes.
But all right, after that, I think the idea is if you don't substitute, they can't substitute, right?
Yeah.
So if you like what you've got out there, you like your punt team against their punt return team offensively because you've got somebody who can run wildcat or whatever the case may be.
It just didn't allow them enough time when they switched the personnel.
Because I don't understand why you would then switch the personnel. If you like your matchup enough to pull that off, then run a play.
Well, that's why it was just another poorly executed
I didn't get it. And if you are, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well,
unless you were going to actually go through with it, which they decided not to do. How do you try to get the other it didn't end up mattering. They ended up getting the first down later, but just stupid.
All right. Well, we've got left is the Chiefs-Steelers blowout, so we won't spend much time on that.
Now?
But one quick note here. Dak Prescott is usually known for being a pretty classy guy, but he was asked post-game about fans throwing things at the players, and it kind of evolved into a little bit of a shot at a big shot at the refs.
Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic. I get that. But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
The
credit to them, then.
That's a take.
Credit to them.
That's not a good look.
I don't like that.
That's not a good look.
I mean, I'm sure he was joking, but I don't know.
He was not smiling at all.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, you don't say that. I mean, I did see one of the Cowboys like had to use his helmet to defend himself against a bottle being thrown at the field.
No one's saying that the fans should have been doing that.
No.
But I mean, like...
But Randy Gregory said they weren't aiming at me. They were aiming at the refs. And then Dak's like, yeah, credit to them.
I saw a video of a Dallas Cowboys fan breaking and then shooting his television yesterday. How about that?
What?
Yeah, one of the you always see the videos of the angry fans afterwards who like punch their TVs, right, and break them or whatever. This dude did that a few times. And the TV's on the ground. He got a gun and shot it.
In the house.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, it's Dallas. I think it's just par for the course.
I think we all agree Dallas had no one to blame but themselves.
Agreed. Yeah. Don't blame the refs. No, that's question. Lame. What will Hasselbeck say about that on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to ask him.
I plan to.
All right, last game.
1 minute, max.
Looks like Ben Roethlisberger was right about the Steelers
not belonging
in the playoffs.
All right, anyway, there you go. That was Steelers and Chiefs.
Chiefs got off to such a big lead that they let Travis Kelce throw a touchdown in the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Mahomes becomes a decoy. Kelsey's going to throw a touchdown. Kelce to Pringle.
That game was boring.
Yeah,
you're right. He was right. They had no business being there.
None. No business whatsoever. If it's not for that poor guy fumbling twice on one play to give them 7 points early.
Yeah.
It's just, they rolled them, man. That's silly. You don't need seven teams from each conference in the playoffs. I think that's now very, very clear. Yeah. I'm sure the NFL won't roll it back because there's money to be made off this whole thing. And honestly, I am excited for the whole Monday night game tonight. I think that's a cool element of what they're doing. But you don't need seven teams. They're not that good. And, you know, sort of a shame that we now get to watch these blowouts to start
the
year.
Yeah, you had Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes both throwing 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's just a little tune-up for them. And, you know, opportunities for more guys to get injured and then ultimately lowering the level of play. I mean, you played a 17th game. Now you got the extra teams that are in. There's just more teams. Fewer teams get the bye. I just think that's kind of a bummer. All right, that is a trip around the NFL for a wild card weekend. Still with one more to go. We got Rams and Cardinals tonight. Yes, I'm sure tomorrow at 7:30 I will be taking a few L's based on my predictions. Just what?
Two and
three yesterday, I guess. Not spectacular. Hmm. So, all right. I got some of the blowouts right. It was the closer games that I wasn't quite sure about. All right, the news that came out over the weekend with Ian Rappaport is big news and no news kind of all at once. Brock and I used to do good news, bad news, no news. This is sort of all three wrapped into one. So let's see if we can break it down together. We'll do that next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN, Seattle.